Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You know, the blue people, blue Americans, just, they got it bad. And every time an orange man or an orange woman gets a better house, gets a better car, gets a better job, it's generally at the expense of the blue Americans and blue people internationally. And as a blue man, I'm sick of it. I consider orange people to be my brothers and sisters, but as long as orange people want to ignore history and what they did on the backs of the blue people, blue Americans all over America today, if you're blue, you know what it's like not to be able to get a loan for a house. If you're blue, your ancestors couldn't sit down in a restaurant. Doesn't matter if you're sky blue or royal blue or midnight blue. I know there's been that stratification among my people for a long time. A lot of people call yourself, I know a lot of these blue people. I talked to a blue man the other day. He says, that ain't me, man, because I'm powder blue. I'm powder blue, so I don't have to worry about some of these gigs that a cat like you who's midnight blue or gunmetal blue. See, I'm gunmetal blue. I'm as blue as the barrel on Smith & Wesson. I'm so blue, I'm like a teal blue. Because my people come from that part of blue land. Now, a lot of the blue people that were enslaved by the orange man, their women were raped. And otherwise, the blood was mixed. And therefore, the orange people got their blood going into the blue people, and now you see a lot of these powder blue and sky blue people. And they think they're orange. You are not orange. You're blue. Just like me. And then there's the purple people. And they got it bad, especially ever since that purple people eater landed from another planet. That was a drag, because now, and I think the guy only had one eye, as a matter of fact. In fact, it was a one-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people eater, if I not mistaken. But anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show, a proud blue man. There is, coming up this weekend, the Tabacky Truck is going to be visiting Southern California. Dean Wheeler is on the line with us from Los Angeles. Dean is press relations for the Kentucky Tobacco Farmers Coalition, and we welcome Dean to the microphones and to the telephone here of the Phil Henry Show. Dean, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
Okay, tell us about the Tabacky Truck.
Phil, the Tabacky Truck is something that we're very excited about. It's a kind of a throwback to the time in American history, which was a lot of fun, the late 19th century, Main Street USA, when you could enjoy tobacco products without this sort of atmosphere of fear that surrounds enjoyment of tobacco products today. But what we do with our Tabacky Truck, it's outfitted to look like an old 19th century fire truck, and we have some of our hosts and hostesses who are dressed up in straw hats and vests, and we're passing out good old tobacco products, as we call them, or tobacco products, to families and people, including our young people, throughout Southern California this coming weekend. And it's my job, as the press relations advocate for the Kentucky Tobacco Farmers Coalition, to let people know about it. We're very happy to be on your program and talk about that.
All right. Now, this is called the old Tobacky Truck, and what do you have on it?
Well, Phil, we've got all kinds of great things. We're going to have a good old-fashioned hot dog roast, and we're going to have corn on the cob. But we also have tremendous tobacco products for people to enjoy, tobacco products that are straight out of Kentucky. We've got some cigarettes and cigars and pipe tobacco. And we want people to give tobacco an opportunity to enjoy it away from all of this publicity, Phil, that's been going on, away from all the rancor and away from all of the all the negativity and quite frankly, Phil, the confusing comments that have been made recently about tobacco. We want people to enjoy tobacco the way it was intended to be enjoyed, and that is in the just the unfettered and the singularly relaxed atmosphere of just enjoying it with friends and neighbors. And that's what we hope we'll accomplish this weekend.
All right. Now, where is the tobacco truck going to be? I know you said Culver City.
That is correct, Phil. In Culver City, we're going to be at the West Coast Plaza in Culver City on Saturday at 8 a.m. Then we're going to go over to the Glendale Fashion Park in Azusa, and that's going to be at 10:30. The Triplex Fashion Experience in Orange.
Okay. Now, these are all on Saturday?
The Triplex Fashion Experience in Orange will be on Saturday night, and then down to San Diego to La Jolla Shopping Mercado. And that's going to be on Sunday. And the tobacco truck is like I said, a return to a time when smoking tobacco wasn't necessarily a Nuremberg war crime, Phil.
It does seem that there is an awful lot of rancor around it. But there is a reason for this, isn't there? The fact that the tobacco industry lost this lawsuit on Friday?
Well, you know something, Phil? That doesn't make our life any easier. I won't lie to you. The lawsuit, as it was settled, we feel is unfair. We feel it is grossly unfair. We feel that it is almost a malfeasance to award an amount of money that extreme. But I will tell you that what we're going to try and do is offset that bad publicity and offset some of those negative things. And, you know, the flavor, the taste, the cool sensation of a menthol cigarette, for instance, or the flavor and taste of a good, rich tobacco cigarette, we think that that's the kind of thing that people are going to enjoy. So come on down to the tobacco truck. There's Marlboros and Camels, Virginia Slims. All of the kids are welcome to try the product.
Okay, now here's where I was going to interrupt you. Are children welcome to...
Well, Phil, let me explain something here before we get too far off the deep end. First of all, we are a family-oriented organization. And we are definitely in favor of families. But we do feel that young people have a right to decide for themselves just how they're going to live their lives. And we think it's unfair for parents to necessarily tell a young person who is on the verge of adulthood whether they should smoke or not. We like them to make up their own minds, and that's why we have the tobacco truck. And
are you giving out to underage minors cigarettes?
Well, you know, the way you put that is the family that smokes together, we think, stays together. And that's kind of a...
Yeah, you know what? If you're hanging your hat on that advertising slogan, you know...
Well, you know, Phil, it's like this. We get the consent of the adults that are with the kids. They need the consent of an adult. And if that adult consents, sure, we'll give the children a cigarette. Not the children, but you have to be at least 13 years of age.
All right, so the kids at least need the consent of their parents.
Well, the kids need the consent of an adult. And what we're not...
Do they need the consent of their parents, though?
What I want to do is focus on the good things that we're doing, Phil. And
yeah, could you answer that question for me, Dean? Do they need the consent of their parents to have tobacco?
Well, I think I did answer it, but I'll try to be clear. As they need the consent of an adult. And a lot of these kids are being brought with uncles or older brothers or whatever. You know.
So in other words, if a kid comes down there with an older brother... An adult older brother?
Well, a consent of a guardian or an adult. So he has to be at least 18 years of age. And a lot of the kids will ride their bikes down here, and they can do that.
And what adult gives them consent?
They can ask me. I can give them consent. They can.
Oh, so in other words, all they got to do is come up to you and say, "Hey, mister, can I smoke those cigarettes?" And you say yes?
Phil, what we want to do here with the Kentucky Tobacco Farmers Coalition,
No, but listen to what I'm saying. You got kids coming down there and smoking, and forgive me if I'm interrupting.
Right.
Then tell me, but, you know...
Well, frankly, Phil, you are interrupting because I wanted to be able to answer some of your questions in a little bit more of a calm manner.
All right, but it sounds to me like you said they need the consent of an adult to smoke.
Yes, I did.
So all they do is ride their little bicycles down to the tobacco truck and ask Mr. Wheeler, "Hey, Mr. Wheeler, can I have a cigarette?"
Well, you know, that's not really the way it works, but if that's the way you want to see it...
No, tell me how it works.
Phil, I want you to be comfortable with your view of it. The way it works is the kids need the consent of an adult.
And if they get the consent of an adult to smoke cigarettes, they can come down there to the tobacco truck and you'll give them cigarettes.
You know what? We have a right to market our product to the future users,
But don't you understand, Dean, this is the problem that a lot of people see with the tobacco industry, that you are getting a younger generation of people hooked, that you are getting young people hooked on cigarettes, and that they're smoking at younger ages, and that they're going to be like me, 30 years of smoking, maybe longer, 30, 40 years, and maybe there's lung cancer in their future. And people...
Well, I got to interrupt you there, Phil, because I think you're going off the deep end a little bit. I think that what we have is an opportunity to allow ourselves to recover from this lawsuit, which we think is absolutely scandalous, which is completely out of line. And what we need to do, number one, is obviously increase the price of a package of cigarettes. But number two, we do have to introduce cigarettes to a new customer because of this, what we consider to be outrageous award in this lawsuit of $146 billion. So if the government of the United States is going to penalize a legitimate industry, $146 billion, we have the right to recoup that.
So in other words, you're going to go out there, you're going to raise the price of cigarettes.
Just like every other industry would, Phil.
Okay. And you're going to get kids hooked so that you've got...
We have the right to survive as an industry. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with giving the kids a sample. Have yourself a smoke, get a hot dog, sit down, read the sports page. You know, sort of do it the way your father does it. Kick back. We got some cappuccino. They can have themselves a cup of coffee and a cigarette. Read some philosophy or hang out with their friends and talk like they're in a, you know, kind of a bohemian coffee shop someplace.
And they're all 13. Is that it?
I didn't say they're all 13, Phil.
Well, you are saying at least 13.
Well, if that's how you want to do this, if you want to play it like this, be contentious.
I don't want to be contentious, Dean, but I think I see what you're doing. You're getting 13-year-old kids hooked on cigarettes, giving them coffee and, you know, making them feel like bohemians, and you have the tobacco truck like it's some kind of a Disneyland thing.
Sir, again, you can go ahead and be negative. I'm going to elect to be positive on this thing, Phil. You go ahead and be negative. I'll be the positive side because I believe in America and I believe in business.
So that's what it's going to be. I'm going to have to be the negative guy.
Well, that's what you're doing, and I think you're doing a disservice to the tobacco industry and the tobacco truck, which a lot of kids are enjoying. And
you turned on a lot of kids with cigarettes?
We were just in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we got a lot of kids interested in our product, and we're coming to Southern California. But I'm going to go ahead and be positive. You be negative, and you just be all upset.
Yeah, okay. Hold the line, okay?
You bet, Phil.
Dean Wheeler. He is the public relations specialist for the Kentucky Tobacco Farmers Coalition. They have the tobacco truck that they're wheeling around Southern California this weekend, turning kids on to cigarettes. And I said, well, now, wait a second. What about having the consent of their parents? He said, well, they have the consent of an adult, which means he can give this his consent. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And on the phone with us is Dean Wheeler from the Kentucky Tobacco Farmers Coalition. They have the tobacco truck, which is going to be going around Southern California this weekend. They're going to be in a variety of malls passing out tobacco samples. And some of the people that you're going to be passing these samples out to are underage kids, but you're claiming they're getting a parent's permission. And I got to tell you something. If it's a kid of mine, I'd be a little upset if you're giving my kid permission to smoke a cigarette. You understand what I'm saying, Dean?
Well, Phil, you know something? We've had that complaint, and I say to any responsible parent, if you don't want your kids smoking cigarettes, then don't smoke. Don't let them smoke cigarettes. You know, if he comes out to see the tobacco truck, which is a slice of Americana and a slice of history, he's going to see a time when America, you know, Americans can have a cigarette without being treated as if they're Jews in Nazi Germany.
Well, don't you think that's a little bit extreme?
Well, you know something, Phil? No, I don't. I really don't. I think that what we're doing is we're freeing people to enjoy. I don't know how else to do it, But I've got to get more customers and get the revenue back because we've just been nailed with a $146 billion lawsuit settlement that is right out of Nazi Germany and is straight out of the Soviet Union. And
you don't think you're engaging in any hyperbole here, do you? I mean,
no, Phil, I really don't.
I mean, Nazi Germany, your $146 billion, what you guys have done in the tobacco industry to Americans is akin to what the Nazi doctors did to Jews in concentration camps. How about that for a comparison?
Well, I think you're bordering on slander.
Well, you know, maybe I am. Sue me, okay? That'll be a change of pace. You guys suing somebody for a change. Here is your Belinda on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Your Belinda, hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Yes, sir. I have a couple questions for this Mr. Wheeler. Mr.
Yes.
Wheeler, do you have any children?
Yes, ma'am. I've got two daughters.
And you condone them smoking?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Okay. I am a smoker.
You know, I give kids,
let me finish, please.
I give kids the choice.
Let me finish,
and their
please.
Parents have a choice as well.
Hello?
You're a cigarette smoker?
Yes, I am a smoker.
And I take it
I
that
have
you
a
did 19 that voluntarily.
Year old, hello?
Did you do that voluntarily? Did you do that voluntarily?
Yes, I smoke voluntarily.
All right,
however,
there you go.
I am courteous enough to not smoke around other people. I do not smoke in my own home.
Well, that's too bad.
I go outside to smoke, and if my daughter came up to me and said an adult gave her permission to smoke cigarettes, I would be at their throats.
Well, you know, our tobacco truck, we have clowns making balloon animals for the kids.
I think you're making smoking a fun thing, and I do believe that you are giving me every reason I've ever decided to not quit smoking.
Uh-huh.
You're giving me every reason to quit smoking.
You won't quit. You won't quit.
Bet me.
I'll bet you. How much would you like
anytime
to bet?
Anytime anybody
wait,
ever dared me anything,
wait a
sir,
second.
It has happened.
Wait a minute. You're saying
okay.
She won't. You're wait a minute. I want to jump in here. You're saying she won't quit.
No, she won't.
How do you know?
Phil, we've invested a fair amount of money into ensuring that people, you know, if she was going to quit, she would have quit by now. She's got children in her home. Why would she quit for me if she can't quit for her own kids? There's my first comment. My second comment will
why
be
why would you go around and try and get 13-year-old children to try your product?
Well, because people like you have made $146 billion worth of trouble for my industry. We have to get, I'll tell you this right now. It is my job to try to get that business back. $146 billion.
I think you're fighting a losing battle, though. I truly do.
I don't
and
think
I'm a
so.
Smoker.
Well,
I think you're fighting
you're
a
smoking,
losing battle.
As long as you're smoking, we got at least one customer.
Well,
let me
you know what, sir? I have cut myself way back.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
And
we have tobacco spitting contests. Winners are going to receive lighters. We have a new
product. Have you
seen
anybody that has died from
flavored tobacco?
Mouth cancer?
Well, have you?
No, but I had a father who had severe emphysema.
Well, that's make
okay?
you.
Okay, and I don't intend to let that happen to myself or my daughter.
I see. That's why you smoke. I got you.
No.
So anyway,
I have nine children, sir.
Mr. Henry, can I ask you something? Are all of your callers this smart? She's really bowling me over with her intelligence here.
You don't have to get insulting, okay?
No, you do not.
This broad is telling me that she smokes, and
excuse
yet she doesn't.
Excuse me,
and
you
broad,
stop right there, and don't you ever call me a broad.
Well, what are you
don't
you're telling
you
me,
dare.
You're telling me you smoke,
I have
right?
had the courtesy to call you sir.
Okay, you smoke,
that has
right?
just stopped.
Do you smoke?
I've already answered your question.
Okay, well, then
I
how
have
bright
one more
can you be? How bright can
wait,
you be?
Wait, I have one more question
if you're smoking,
for you.
But you don't want
to
smoke,
you have yet
do
to
smoke?
Explain to Phil Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
When a 13-year-old child without an adult comes up to you, what
right.
is the process that you go through?
They need adult
okay,
consent.
But you said that you can
right.
give permission. Okay,
we need for the child to have an adult's
your
consent.
Truck.
Yes.
A 13-year-old child
let's
walks
say your
truck.
Let's say it's your kid.
What do you do?
I say, would you like to try some cigarettes? And they say yes. I said, but you need, are you? Do you realize?
So if a 13-year-old child goes up to
a minute.
And says, I'd like to try some pot. That's okay, too?
Well, I think you're engaging in hyperbole
and
here.
And I don't believe what you're doing is legal.
Well, ma'am, you know, we're not talking about drugs. We're talking about the
it
tobacco.
It is a drug.
It's the tobacco truck. It's a throwback.
It is a drug.
The 19th century. We got clowns. We have a lot of, we have hot dogs.
It is not a fun thing.
Well, yeah,
okay?
then why are you doing it?
Because it's a very, very disgusting bad habit.
Yeah.
And you think... You know what? I may get up in the morning, and the first one, yeah, okay, that's great. Rest of the day, I keep thinking to myself.
You smoke it through a hole
you know
in your neck,
what?
Or what
quit.
Do you do? You think about that, but you don't quite, huh? Anyway.
All right, hold on. Phil
are
Henry Show.
Smoker?
Hold on for a second. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. There was another show using the studio over the weekend, and I won't say which, but we came into the studio this morning, and it was an absolute, it looked like a bomb had hit it, and we got chairs missing out of the studio. I'll say this, and I mean this, I clean up after myself. I pick up. I try to set things straight before I split. So that if someone else is going to come into the studio and use it after me, I try to make it a reasonably livable place for them to work in. And when you come in and use a studio and you leave it like a rat's nest, that says one thing to me, that you're not a professional, that you're an amateur playing at being a professional. Be a professional. When you come into a radio studio, clean it up, leave it the way you found it. Otherwise, it's like you're using your mommy and daddy's rec room. You're down there to shoot a game of pool and throw some candy wrappers on the floor, and now on to the next task. Okay? Because we've gone through a number of stages in equipping this room, and I just know that the people who are the people in question who did the show in question over the weekend in question are unquestionably not listening to me right now, so I can say what I want to say about it and won't get back to them. Anyway, that's okay. You just talk to Tim when I'm sure he'll be all ears for you, Mike. 1-800-4 in your very tactful way. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Dean Wheeler is with us. We're talking about, and Dean is a public relations for the Kentucky Tobacco Farmers Coalition, talking about the tobacco industry's lawsuit settlement. Now, the tobacco truck is some truck that's going to be around Southern California disseminating and distributing tobacco products to everybody, no matter what their age. And I know, Dean, you're going to find a lot of people are just flat not digging it. Now, I put this lady in Yorba Linda on hold, and then we're going to move to another call. Ma'am, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I'm just really sorry that we have to go after children.
What's that, ma'am? Well, I think that
try and increase their sales.
As long as you continue to smoke
in
your house, your kids are going to die of cancer.
All right, thank you.
You're a hateful man.
No,
you're
well,
a sick individual.
Well, you ought to quit smoking.
I haven't smoked a cigarette talking to you.
Well, there you go. Then maybe you ought to spend more time with me.
I doubt
about
that very much.
How about that?
I'm sorry, but I'm wondering why you're not advertising this in Kentucky.
Ma'am, Kentucky is a tobacco-growing state. We have
people... They don't sell tobacco there?
Well, they sure do. We've got people who endorse and enjoy the product.
I think you're
going
to find in California there's a lot of people that don't want to have anything to do with you.
But we got a lot of people like you in California, and that's what we're...
You know, it vaguely sounds like you're insulting this woman. How do you hope to keep her as a customer?
Because she's hooked, Phil. I can call her a broad, whatever I want to. She's going to keep smoking. Doesn't make any difference, so that's what I want to do.
Well, low-class people sell low-class products.
All right, well.
Thank you.
Where do you keep your Pall Malls in the trailer? I'm kidding. That's just a joke.
Yeah, real funny. 1-800-449-8686, Portsmouth on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I just want to comment about this gentleman, I guess you could call him, on the telephone here. I just want to say that why would you promote something like this? Why would you promote a drug to families? You're making it sound like it's going to be something fun, like they're going to have clowns and face painting and stuff like that. When
ma'am,
you're doing is just promoting a drug.
Well, I think it's a fair question, Phil. I'd like to answer the lady.
Go ahead.
First of all, a $146 billion lawsuit was settled against my industry.
Yes, I know.
All right. I have to, and I have been given the task, along with several other men in our industry, to try to get the business back up to a level where we can accommodate this a ghastly settlement, which I think is something straight out of Nazi Germany. And
you know, you're offending me by comparing Nazi Germany to the settlement against the tobacco company, okay? There's no comparison. And
this is straight out of Nazi Germany. They might as well put me in an oven.
No comparison.
What are you talking about?
You cannot compare it to Nazi Germany.
Well, I don't understand what you're saying, ma'am. I think that what they're doing to the tobacco, they might as well take the CEO of Brown & Williamson and RJI Reynolds, put them in a striped suit, and put them in an oven.
What are you saying?
Don't you think that's going a little bit too far?
Like Jews in Germany?
Well, wait a second.
I mean,
why?
These guys have made so much money off of this anyways that they're set for life no matter what.
Well, a lot of the
Jews... Even if all the cigarette companies closed down.
Well, a lot of the Jews they stuck in ovens had a lot of money,
oh,
too.
Oh, please. But,
well, you're not
going to... even compare it.
Quit that.
Well, okay. Let me put it... Is that a child in the back seat there of your car? Or?
Yes.
Now, someday, that child is going to have to make a decision. Is he going to smoke or is he not?
It's a she, and
right.
She will not smoke.
I'm hoping she'll say yes. I'll take a drag on that. If she's at a rock concert with a boyfriend or hanging around the back of a store in an alley somewhere, someone will give her a cigarette.
You know, you don't make your industry sound very attractive.
Well, no. The point is, we're going to have a great. Are you going to bring her down to the Tobacco Wagon, ma'am, or where are you in Portsmouth?
I'm in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Thank God, on the other side of the United States.
Another great tobacco growing state, nonetheless.
Oh, I understand. And very many people's livelihood around here.
You got it. And if you bring that
but
child,
at the same time,
don't you think she has the right to make up her own mind, ma'am?
She has the right to make up her own mind, but she also has the right to know the facts too.
Well, what choices have you given her lately about tobacco?
She's an infant.
She's 2 years old. I'm not going to give her any choices about tobacco.
So in other words, what you're doing is you're not giving her any choice in the matter.
Not at 2 years old.
She's
are you an idiot? I'm sorry.
Wait
I hate
a second.
To say that.
Well, ma'am, you know, that's really rough, okay, calling me an idiot. So that's
okay, well, it's not rough telling that lady before that she was from the trailer park. I mean,
but seriously, that broad smoke.
She smoked. You know what? You are doing a lot for the tobacco industry.
You're not helping your industry at all, okay?
Exactly, by showing how much of a fool you are.
Wait a minute, ma'am. What I'm trying
you
to say
you sound like a fool.
Ma'am, I haven't called you a name, all right?
And you know, and I appreciate that. And I'm sorry for being disrespectful.
No, that's
sometimes
okay.
Sometimes it needs to happen.
Well, ma'am, we have a fruit punch chewing tobacco that would be good for your daughter so she could make up her mind as to whether or not she wants
to. You know what? Excuse me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? This has got to be a joke. You've got
ma'am.
To be saying all this stuff just to get a row out of
a 2-year-old child.
Well, that doesn't sound like a happy kid to me. Listen to her. She sounds like she's chewing on a bucket of seats. What is going on with her?
Okay.
She's upset because I'm getting upset. And you know what? I'm sorry. I have to go now because this guy's really starting to upset me.
Ma'am, I don't want to upset you. I just want you to take a look at your daughter and say, doesn't baby want
say,
to have a little cigarette?
Yes, you can die of lung cancer. You can die of emphysema if you want to. Sure, go right ahead.
Or say no.
Mind.
Or say no. Say no. I don't want you to have that. You know, whatever you want to do.
What was that last crack you made?
I will say no. I do not want you to have that. This is what will happen to you if you have that.
What was that last
it's
crack?
What last crack?
What was the thing she's supposed to say to her kid?
I was joking, Phil.
What did you say?
Yes,
Phil.
Tell me.
I was joking.
What did you say?
I said, why don't you look at your kid and say, did the baby want to have a cigarette? I was kidding. What the hell is that? Did you electrocute your kid?
No.
You know.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Starting to do some jokes now, huh?
I beg your pardon?
You doing a couple of gags? Watch it.
Look at Phil. I have $146 billion. I'm scared. I don't mind telling you that I'm scared. I'm petrified because $146 billion that we need to bring back to the tobacco industry, and I'm one of the guys that's got to do it. Oh, my God, am I scared. And I didn't sleep at all last night.
Well, okay, I understand. You chose the industry of the tobacco industry, and their public relations couldn't be worse, and their product couldn't be worse, and you're in a big world of hurt, my brother. And by coming on here and saying, didn't baby want to have a cigarette, that's not funny. All it is getting people bugged.
Well, I got to do something to try to get everybody going. And
yeah, you're going to get the tobacco truck. They're going to burn the thing down. And how dare you mention that the CEO of Brown & Williamson is just like a Jew in the ghetto in Warsaw?
Well, I don't see any difference because, in my opinion...
Okay, who are the Nazis then? The court?
I think the court was behaving just exactly like the Nazi party.
Man, you need to learn your history. Here's West Palm Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wheeler?
Yes, sir.
You, Mr. Henry just said, you need to learn your history. That courtroom had a judge and two attorneys, one attorney for the tobacco company, one attorney for the plaintiffs.
Uh-huh.
In Nazi Germany, the Jews and the Gypsies and the Catholics and all the people exterminated, 12 million people, they didn't have a jury. They didn't have attorneys. They had no choice.
Well, you know, look.
And somebody that chooses to smoke has a choice to quit or not.
Well,
you're
sir,
trivializing the most horrific crime of the 20th century.
Well, what are these
have
guys
you
doing
no
to my
shame?
Industry? What are these guys doing to my industry, sir, where they're, you know, come on, calm down.
Well, you just made
How do you compare
what?
A settlement to the killing of 12 million people.
I think it was terrible what happened to the Jews. I think it's
Catholics,
terrible.
Catholics, gypsies, homosexuals.
Yes.
Everybody that didn't walk into lockstep with the Nazis were guilty by one person, by Hitler, and they were killed.
Right.
They didn't have any choice.
Same thing.
How do you compare that to a settlement? Are you an idiot? Well, I know the answer to that. Of course you are.
It's the same thing that's happening to the tobacco company. They're getting put into a figurative concentration camp, and they're being figuratively gassed.
No, they're not.
And they're being figuratively
hung. Tobacco companies have other industries. They have other products.
They go into a figurative crematorium.
If they don't want to sell tobacco, they can sell food. They can sell other things. They don't have to sell tobacco.
Food.
Tobacco is a nasty, harmful, disgusting habit.
The jury's still out on that. And
come on with that. Jury is still out on that.
The jury's still out on that, and I think there's evidence to say that smoking can cure certain diseases as well as cause them. And I know of one person who actually got rid of lip cancer by smoking more.
How many people have died over the years from heart disease?
You need to learn your history.
Coronary artery
disease. Good point.
Cancers.
Thank you, sir, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Wichita on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Wichita, hi.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
Uh-huh.
Anything else?
Yeah, I'm just calling and saying that guy, you know, that's wrong with
you. Dear, you need to turn your radio. You need to turn that radio down. I can hear it in the background.
Oh, okay.
See? Now that won't confuse you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that that guy that sells cigarettes to minors, you know, he should be arrested. That they're messing up their lungs and...
What country are you calling from?
Huh?
What country are you calling from?
Wichita.
Well, it sounds like you're on a shortwave radio in Cambodia, dear. It does. Are you on a base phone unit, or are you on a C-16?
I'm on a base phone.
Okay, that sounds better, dear. You just opened the car. I can hear it going ding, ding, ding. Okay, that's good. Now you're getting out. Okay, dear, are you with me?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, here's what I think. Look, the kids can't smoke unless they have parental consent, and I give parental consent, and they can try it out. It doesn't mean they're going to be hooked, but have themselves some fruit-flavored tobacco. You know, the good old tobacco farms and all of that.
And that tobacco bit really bothers me, too.
No,
you're trying to make it sound real tobacco-y, you know, like it's some kind of a Walt Disney movie.
Well, no, we accept handwritten notes from parents.
See, when I was a kid, and my mom caught me with a cigarette, she put it out in my mouth.
Well, I think that that's very cruel, and
you know,
I think that's the Nazis
well,
who do
I've
that,
I've never
okay?
touched it.
Were
you know,
was
and
your mother
I think
a Nazi guard?
Well, I think it's a sin that you're smoking. You're
well,
messing
ma'am.
Up your body. You're putting all that nasty stuff down in your body.
Oh, I didn't say I do it.
I see it in the hospital all the time. I work in surgery. I see them come in, and they do surgery on them, and their liver and all that is just black as cold.
You don't
cold.
Smoke with your liver, okay? That's impossible.
Yeah, but when you puff that stuff in and
it doesn't go into your liver. It goes
it covers all that stuff. It, all your
I
lungs
suppose,
and all that.
Yeah,
your
all
lungs,
of that
it
stuff.
It tears up your lungs and all that. Yeah,
right.
It does.
Well, what does it do to your looks? Because people get better looking when they smoke.
No, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do. I married a woman because she looked like Lauren Bacall with that cigarette. Just, man,
no, my
I
husband
wanted her.
Used to smoke, and it made him a lot older looking than what he does right now.
You know, one
and
of the great
quit,
things.
And he hasn't smoked in 3 years.
Yeah,
and
I bet you he's getting fatter
now since he quit smoking.
You know what's a great deal? After you have sex, light one up. You look like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown.
No, I don't like that nasty stuff in my house. It makes your house stink. Your furniture smells bad.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
People up there at the work where I work at, they smell so bad when they smoke.
Yeah? Who does?
The people I work with.
Who are they? The doctors?
My supervisor and a
the
few of the other
the hospital
people.
Smoke?
Huh?
Do the doctors at the hospital you work at smoke?
A few of them does. And I tell them. And I tell them that they stink because they smoke that nasty stuff.
I bet you they stink in more ways than one. I bet you they're very good doctors. But
yeah, they might be
okay.
good what you're doing, but they smell because of them nasty cigarettes.
All right. What do you smoke?
Huh?
She doesn't
smoke.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much for your call. A lot of people are down on you for giving them to kids.
So I guess I'll see you at the Tobacco Wagon Jamboree, ma'am, out there in Wichita. Okay.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry, 800-449-8686. So, Sex and the City is a replacement for The Sopranos on HBO. And I made the mistake of getting into a discussion about sex in the city with our writer, Melissa Morgan, who hates the show because the women all get laid a lot. And anyway, I'm kidding. Well, isn't that one of the reasons why you hate the show? Because it misrepresents women. I think the show is, let me tell you, this is how completely disconnected you become when you get married. This is how far out of the freaking loop you are. I had no idea that anybody lived that way, let alone women in New York. Is there any, you know any guys that live like that? Yeah, I guess. It's a wrong question. I'm married. Yeah, other than Taylor, who is so diseased, so rife with communicable disease, that I would hasten to forewarn any young woman before dancing with him at Clockwork Orange on a Friday night, his favorite club. Now, you still go to the Clockwork Orange? Oh, Nikki goes there? Oh, never mind. Anyway, according to our producer, by the way, your thang is about to fall off, T-H-A-N-G. But anyway, this show, I like it. I think it's funny, especially that dude. Who's the brunette? Catral? The brunette of the show? She's making, it isn't. I don't know who she is, but she's making love to her boyfriend number 343. And right as he is about to reach his, let's say, peak, he screams out things like, "You bitch!" And what is it? Kristen Davis? Charlotte. Yeah, character Charlotte. Catral's the blonde. That's right. So anyway, I said to Melissa, I go, "Well, who lives like that?" She goes, "Well, I don't know, but I don't approve." And I said, "It's amazing. It's stunning because the show is about loosely based on some writer in New York who lives like that. She's got to go out and lay a lot of guys for her column." Candace Bushnell. What a fortunate name. Candace Bushnell? Is that what her name is? And she's got to go out and sleep with at least 100 guys a week for her column in the New York, if you'll pardon the expression, Post. So the TV show is made, and off they go. Now, there's a redhead on that show, and how do I say this gently? Boy, is she funky looking. I don't know who she is, but she's scary looking. And on this episode Sunday night, she's got chlamydia, and she calls up and gives a ration of crap to some guy that she dumped 3 months ago who she thinks might have given it to her, but it turns out she gave it to him. And we're all supposed to have sympathy for this imbecile? I didn't get that at all. She's got chlamydia, which is this raging yeast-style infection. This was the topic of the show. How dare they put that on television? So naturally, I'm putting it on radio at 5:56 in the afternoon. And there she is, and she gives the disease to, did she give it to her boyfriend? Boy, they looked all lovey-dovey there as they talked in bed after she said to him, "I'm trying to get rid of this chlamydia," and after she yelled at this poor slob that she dumped like 3 months before and, hung the phone up on him, and the boyfriend somehow doesn't have the chlamydia. But the very last scene is they're just kissing and hugging. It's very tender there in bed while she has this raging yeast infection. Oh, God, I wanted to shoot my television. Redheaded women, and I got to tell you this, I'm a redheaded man. They ain't that good looking. There's a few. Like Amir. But other than her. Oh, and Gretchen. But other than them. Oh, and my wife. But other than them. Oh, and you too, Melissa. But other than those 16, they're ugly. Okay, so that's my editorial for this evening. 1-800-449-8686. Redheads are ugly. I'm Phil Hendry.